Tonight, I want to speak on radical discipleship. What does it really mean? How serious are we about being Jesus' disciples? If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, and we will read from verse 57 through to verse 62. As they were walking along the road, a man said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Jesus said to another man, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Let's join together as we pray. Father, we thank you so much for this time that we have shared over these past nights and throughout today, as we have been exploring what it truly means to be a disciple of Jesus. Lord, tonight we pray that you would speak to our hearts. We pray that you would challenge our lives. We pray, Lord, that you might minister to us through your word and through your Holy Spirit. May it be, Lord, that our hearts will be receptive and responsive. May it be that we might hear your voice over and above all the other voices that seek to attract our attention. May we hear your call. May we respond to your claim upon our lives. And Lord, we pray that you would help us tonight to do what Jesus has asked us to do, to deny ourselves, to take up our cross daily, and to follow him. And so we commit this time, and we seek your blessing, and we seek your undertaking upon all that we hear and say, and we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. I wonder how many of you have heard the story of the chicken and the pig. The two were walking side by side along a country road when they noticed an announcement tacked on to the bulletin board of a little country church. The announcement read, "Ham and eggs for breakfast this Sunday at 7 a.m. All are invited." The pig turned to the chicken and said, "Will you take a look at that? For you, that is no more than a day's work. But for me, it's a total lifelong commitment." As you think about your own personal involvement in the life of this church, I wonder, do you see yourself as a chicken or a pig? Do you give a day's work, or do you give a lifelong commitment? Is yours one of token involvement, or is yours one of total commitment? And I want to say to you tonight that nothing less than a total commitment is really acceptable. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German theologian and martyr, once said, "When Jesus bids a person to come and be his disciple, he bids that person to come and die." Do you understand that? When Jesus bids a person to come and be his disciple, he bids that person to come and die. Listen to the words of Jesus in Luke 9, verse 23. He said, "If anyone," notice he's not talking to the pastors and the elders and the goody-goodies and the spiritual elite and all the super spiritual people. He is saying, "If anyone would come after me," that is, if anyone would become a disciple of mine, "he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." In the words of Bonhoeffer, he must come and die. You see, becoming a disciple of Jesus means that we say no to self in order that we might say yes to Jesus. It means that we die to self in order that we might live for Jesus. Each of us has living inside of us the big three. Do you know that? The big three live inside of us. Me, myself, and I. Whenever a summit meeting is held between the big three, the decision is always unanimously in my favor. The big three are always loyal to me, myself, and I. It's always my plans, my thoughts, my desires, my ambitions, my dreams, which are given the place of prominence and importance. But when we become a disciple of Jesus, we transfer our allegiance away from self in order that we might live for Jesus. We say no to all that is of self, self-indulgence, self-seeking, self-will, self-pride, self-love. We say no to these things in order that we might say yes to Jesus. If you have a problem with what I'm saying, take it up with Jesus. Jesus said, if anyone wants to be a disciple of mine, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, in those verses from Luke chapter 9, which we have just read, we read of three would-be applicants for discipleship. William MacDonald, in a very, very helpful little booklet, which is now out of date, a booklet entitled True Discipleship, labels these three men as Mr. Too Quick, Mr. Too Slow, and Mr. Too Soft. Each of these three would-be applicants possessed enormous potential, and yet each was hindered in the practical outworking of true discipleship. Mr. Too Quick, it would seem, was hindered by material desires. Mr. Too Slow was hindered by vocational interests. And Mr. Too Soft was hindered by family ties. And I would suggest that they are the same three things that may be hindering you and holding you back and preventing you from being a true, faithful disciple of Jesus. Let's look at them one by one. First of all, we're introduced to Mr. Too Quick. In verse 57, we read that as they were walking along the road, a man, an unidentified man, we don't know his name, we don't know anything about him, but a would-be applicant for discipleship. And he came to Jesus and he said, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Now on the surface, the response of this young man seemed so commendable, so admirable, so praiseworthy. But Jesus, who knows what is in the heart of every man, knew what was in the heart of this man. He knew that this man's heart was motivated by material desires. You see, the popular concept of the Messiah in that day was that his appearing would usher in a universal reign of prosperity and blessing. And so this young man no doubt figured to himself that he wanted to cash in on that prosperity and blessing. And so very thoughtlessly and very recklessly, he said, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus turned to this young man and he said, my friend, do you really understand what you're saying? Jesus said, foxes have holes. The birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Jesus said to this young man, do you realize that to be a disciple of mine, you can't expect to be treated any better than that? Do you realize that discipleship is costly and demanding? Do you realize that there is a price to pay and a cost to bear? Do you realize that as a disciple of mine, you may be called upon to sacrifice the security of home and forgo the material comforts of life? Do you realize that I, the Son of Man, I don't even have a place to lay my head? Apparently, this young man had never thought about those sort of things. And very quickly, it would seem, he turned away, disillusioned, discouraged, and we never read of him again. You see, it was material desires that brought him to Jesus, but it was material desires that were to keep him from Jesus. Material desires can be a positive hindrance. I'm sure you are familiar with the story of the rich young ruler. Here was another young man who came running to Jesus. That's how eager he was. He came running to Jesus. But he left with leaden footsteps. You see, he wanted treasure in heaven, but he was not willing to forgo his wealth on earth. He knew what he needed, but he wasn't willing to forgo what he wanted. Jesus called upon him to sacrifice the present for the future, but he sacrificed the future for the present. Jesus called upon him to sacrifice the material things which he possessed for the one vital thing that he lacked. Remember what Jesus said? He said, "One thing you lack. Go and sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come and follow me." Jesus was not trying to make this rich man poor. He was trying to make this poor man rich. He was offering him treasure in heaven. But this young man looked at his money, and then he looked at Jesus, and he looked at his money, and he looked at Jesus, and he looked at his money, and he looked at Jesus, and he turned away sorrowful. And he walked with Jesus no more. I wonder tonight if your desire for material possessions may be hindering you from being a disciple of Jesus. I wonder whether your bank account, your bank balance, your assets are more important to you than is Jesus. Jesus said, "Whoever does not give up everything he has, he cannot be my disciple." Well, then we go on to read of a second man in verse 59. And we can label this man too slow. The first man was too quick. This man is too slow. You will notice that this time it was Jesus who took the initiative. In verse 59, Jesus said to this particular man, and again, we don't know his name, we don't know anything about him. He simply said, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. You go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Now on the surface, the response of this second man seemed very legitimate, doesn't it? He said, "Let me first go and bury my father." And the response on the surface of Jesus sounds quite harsh, almost cruel. Jesus said, "Let the dead bury their own dead." But the real drift of the conversation went something like this. This young man said to Jesus, "Lord, I will follow you sometime or other. You can be very certain of that. But first, let me stay at home and be a good son and await my father's death. And then when he's dead and buried and gone and all of his affairs have been attended to, and after I have entered into his inheritance and become self-supporting, self-sufficient, then I will come and follow you. Lord, you've just said the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but you don't have anywhere to lay your head. Surely it would be wiser for me to work hard at my vocation and become self-sufficient, self-supporting, then I will come and follow you. How many times have I heard that? How many times have I counseled young people and have heard statements like that? This man was putting his vocation ahead of Jesus. Now, let me say there's nothing wrong with having a vocation. Nothing wrong with having vocational interests. Indeed, it is a Bible principle that a man should work hard at his vocation in order to provide for his own needs and for the needs of his family. But let me just say this, the primary purpose of a vocation for any would-be disciple of Jesus must necessarily be to pay expenses, to provide for the basic necessities of life. But our main vocation, our real vocation, why we are here on this earth, is that we might share the good news of Jesus with others. And so he was a man who was too slow in responding to the call to discipleship. A man who was allowing so much of his vocation to consume his time and his interests. Too slow in his response. Some of you, I know, have very important vocations, and I thank God for the doors that he has opened for you. But please don't make your vocation your God. Please don't give the best years of your life just to climbing the corporate ladder and being successful. You won't be able to take anything with you, you know. Nothing. But you can lay up treasure in heaven whilst you are here. Well, in verse 61, we are introduced to a third would-be applicant. And again, it would seem that like the first man, this man took the initiative. Verse 61 said, still another said, I will follow you, Lord. But first, let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Mr. Too Quick, Mr. Too Slow, and I would label this third applicant Mr. Too Soft. Now again, on the surface, it seems quite legitimate, doesn't it? Quite reasonable. After all, he was only asking permission to say farewell to his family at home. What's wrong with that? But is that all that he was really asking? Apparently not. Apparently, indirectly, he was asking for permission to obtain his family's blessing and approval upon his becoming a disciple of Jesus. You see, the family tie had not yet been broken. And so this man was allowing the authority of his family to supersede the authority of Jesus. But you can't do that. If you were at the seminar today, we looked at that passage, that very sobering passage in Luke 14, where Jesus said, if anyone allows the authority of his family to supersede my authority, if anyone loves his family more than he loves me, then that person cannot be my disciple. And so this was more than a request just to say farewell. This was really a request to obtain approval and blessing from his family. The family tie had not been broken. And so that became a hindrance. And again, let me say, how many young people have I counseled over the years who have been hindered from following Jesus and doing what Jesus has called them to do because they have allowed the authority of their family to supersede the authority of Jesus. Notice what this man's words were. He said, Lord, let me first. It's a contradiction, isn't it? You can't call Jesus Lord and in the same breath say, let me first. If Jesus is truly Lord, if he is truly Lord, then he will be first. He will be first in all that you do. And so we have these three applicants, all of whom were hindered. Material desires, vocational interests, family ties. Now over in Luke chapter 14, and we haven't read this portion tonight, but over in Luke chapter 14, we read of a man who prepared a banquet. And he gave instructions to his servants to go and invite his friends to come to this banquet. He said, come, for everything is now ready. But one by one, they began to make excuses. Do you remember what the excuses were? The first man said, well, I've just bought a block of land. I must go and see it. Please have me excused. The block of land represented this man's material possession. And for this man, his material possession was more important than anything else in all of his life. It had become his master rather than his servant. And so he said, please have me excused. The second man said, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm on my way to try them out. Please have me excused. Vocational interests. One man can only work 1 yoke of oxen. And so for this man to have bought 5 yoke of oxen means that he must have had at least 4 other men working for him, 4 other drivers. But he was allowing his expanding business, his vocational interests, to assume the first place in his life. And the third man said, well, I've just married a wife. I can't come. He was allowing marital family ties to hinder his acceptance. Now, it's perfectly legitimate and lawful to marry a wife. I've been married to my wife for 56 years. Marriage is something that is very beautiful and very God-ordained. It was God who said it's not good for a man to be alone, but if we allow our love for our wife or our husband, or our children, or our parents, or anyone else to occupy the first place, then this is hindering our discipleship. Material desires, vocational interests, family ties. I wonder, are any of these things hindering you tonight? Most of you I don't know. Most of you I have never met before. I don't know where you stand in relationship to God. I don't know where you stand in relationship to discipleship. But I can only but be faithful to share with you the word of Jesus. If anyone wants to be a disciple of mine, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. No to self. Yes to Jesus. The cross is a symbol of sacrifice. The cross is a symbol of submission to our Father in heaven. And Jesus said, we are to take up the cross daily and follow him. And so Bonhoeffer was right. When Jesus bids a person to come and be his disciple, he bids that person to come and die. Let's just take a moment to reflect upon these things, to do some personal heart searching. Ask yourself, what is hindering me? What is holding me back? Why am I not progressing in my walk with God as I should? Am I holding too tightly to material things? Am I striving too hard for vocational things? Am I allowing family to take the place in my life that Jesus needs to take? Please just spend a few moments searching your own heart in this regard. Lord Jesus, these are very sobering words that we have been considering tonight. And Lord, we can identify with these three men. For Lord, we have allowed these same issues to hinder and to prevent us from a wholehearted commitment. And so we pray tonight that you would search our hearts. We pray that you would challenge our lives. And we pray that you would cause us and enable us to fully surrender all that we are, all that we have, and all that we ever hope to be, that we might lay these things at the feet of Jesus, and that we might resolve from this night onwards that he will be the Lord and the Master of our lives. Lord, continue to deal with us, continue to speak to us, continue to challenge us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.